it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Welcome to La Liga Weekly. Now, we're all out of sorts because it's Tuesday afternoon. I haven't written an intro, so I haven't done my homework. And Real Madrid played on a Monday night and got sucked into the Alaves zone of playing Monday night, playing Friday night, losing 1-0 to Getafe.
The Alaves zone.
Yeah. More news on Alaves later. But Real Madrid, shall we start with Real Madrid?
Yeah, that's the reason we waited for the podcast.
It is.
Anticipating that we were going to be discussing this result, this scoreline.
Yeah, and so, you know, two weekends in a row now, or two match rounds in a row, when it swung, the league has massively swung over the last fortnight then, hasn't it, from where we were a couple of weeks ago. So they lost, everybody. If you haven't seen Martin Satriano's goal, that's your first task. Go and have a look at the goal, the winning goal in this, because it was a... It was an absolute rasper of a goal for Getafe. And other than that, I mean, I imagine Real Madrid fans watched it with a huge sense of frustration. They seem to me, Terry, they got dragged into the Getafe zone, playing like Getafe.
Yeah. I think, yes, there was. I mean, first and foremost, I mean, I'm going to keep saying it. They do have important players missing at the moment. And when you do see the starting lineup, there is encouragement there for Osasuna last week and Getafe this week that you can have a go at them. Mm. I mean, it is that's, you know, you're not looking at the Real Madrid team from a few years ago with Kroos and Modric in midfield. And you're not looking at a team with Real Madrid, which what they could have at the moment with no Jude Bellingham, no Kylian Mbappe. It's Militao still out injured. Housen's on his way back. Asensio is injured now. And there must be encouragement for us, as I say, Osasuna last week. And I've been saying it for a little while, actually, that teams have been a little bit afraid, apprehensive of attacking Real Madrid when they've got these players missing, particularly at the back, the defence in particular, when they're not there. And you're thinking, well, why haven't you had more of a go? This isn't the Real Madrid of, you know, the superstars that they had playing at the back and a fully fit Danny Carvajal, Militao was fit. There was, you know, wonderful players. That isn't there at the moment because some of those are missing and some of them are young and new. And Getafe kind of did that, you know. They played a back five, they played a midfield four. Satriano has been playing up front, played wide, and they left Luis Vasquez up front on his own. But this wasn't backs-to-the-wall stuff. It was Soria made a few good saves, but nothing out of the ordinary. Vinicius had a really good chance, the best chance of the game for Real Madrid, and I don't know how he missed, to be honest. I mean, he tried to give the goalkeeper the eyes and dragged his shot wide in the post when he was one-on-one. But other than that, Getafe defended it comfortably. And at the same time, every now and then, they have a threat, but... The goal from Satriano was a wonderful strike. I mean, it was out of the blue. I mean, it's the ball that's not cleared, it's gone up in the air, and he's took it first time on the volley. And to beat Courtois with that type of finish from that distance, it tells you exactly the quality of the strike. So Getafe, and even then, it wasn't backs to the wall stuff. They were running the clock down and stuff like that, but they weren't under immense pressure for the rest of the game. And then we have the same old debate, the substitutions from Arbeloa and the shape of the team. So it's the same debate we're going to have with Xabi Alonso that we had with Ancelotti. And nothing's changing. In actual fact, I'd say it's now deteriorating a bit. And I have made the caveat that they do have important players missing. You put Bellingham, Camavinga and Mbappe back in the team, it's an upgrade. House and fully fit. He plays... It's yeah, there's, I mean, last night you're looking at Rudiger and Alaba at the back. And I'm sure we mentioned Rudiger. One of my favourite players, Rudiger.
Right. So shall we? Right. So let's. There's a lot to unpack. Shall we do? There's a Real Madrid's general behaviour, and then you can tell us about Rudiger and the incident as well. I thought they got part of getting dragged into it. I'm not saying necessarily got. They played more like Getafe. They were aggressive. They were getting themselves. They're getting hot under the collar. Getting annoyed about stuff. Where I don't think Getafe did anything outrageous. I mean, we've called Getafe out many times if they've, because they can, there is an edge to the team and they can be horrible at times. But I don't know, I'm disappointed with Real Madrid's whole attitude to it. I don't know if they, it's like they started with Getafe under their skin or something.
Yeah, I agree with you. And there was no fluency in the game. I think that must come from the coach. He must have been forewarning these players that, who we're playing against, this is what they'll do, because his complaints after the game have no merit. His complaints after the game was that they had Taffe kept stopping the game and the game didn't flow. And I think if anything, that was they're both the same. And if anything, that's one of my complaints with La Liga. In general, it was interesting the weekend. I got to watch a bit because I worked on Saturday and I came back and I was back early on Sunday. I was able to watch a bit of Spanish, a bit of Premier League, and sit there in misery, glutton for punishment, watching Spurs again because I don't often see them because I'm working when they get beat, not when they play, when they get beat, and then I can't be bothered asked to go and watch the highlights of a game when they've been beaten. So this week I had the chance to watch it, and the game doesn't stop as much in the Premier
In
League,
England, yeah.
and it's a fault in La Liga,
Yeah.
and it does happen, but I blame the referees. And then, and because the referees then encourage players to just flop down, contact flop down, and the referee, they know after 5 minutes what type of free kicks the referee's going to give. So I think that Getafe weren't any worse than anybody else last night. Real Madrid have no complaints over that. If anything, Getafe have complaints because, in my opinion, Real Madrid should have been down to 10 men.
Yeah, so the Rudiger incident.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us what, describe it for us.
Well, his number is. Diego Rico's gone down. He might have gone down easily. I think Arda Güler was closest. And then the ball runs free, and Rüdiger, there's just no need for him to basically knee him in the face. And because even the action of Rüdiger, he's not trying to kick the ball. He's not going to get the ball. I think the ball's going out of play. And the referee is probably going to blow for the foul. But Rüdiger makes this weird stance where he sort of crouches down and then jabs his knee into Diego Rico's face. And if that wasn't enough, and then he falls on him and puts his other knee in the face, I think it is, as well. And when you see it on the replay, again, it's one of those where you look at it and you go, well, unfortunate coming together. When you see it on the replay, you're thinking, I actually sat there and thought he's going to get a red card for that. Because there was no need for him to do that action. There was no need for him to put his knee in the face of Diego Rico. It was one of the most obvious red card offences I've seen that VAR should have helped the referee with.
Yeah, because we sit and complain many, many times about VAR slowing the game down and getting involved in the minutiae of a handball that might not have been a handball. Surely it's the kind of thing, if the ref hasn't seen how deliberate the movement was, then the VAR can get involved and say, need to go and have a look at that, mate, because he's, we think he's kneed him deliberately in the face.
And it was a deliberate movement. It
Yeah, I
was
agree. I
because he was
agree.
not going to get the ball.
I thought it was a red card.
He wasn't raking the ball out. It wasn't a player that fell on top of the ball when you sometimes put your foot in to or you make that challenge to kneel, almost crouch down. It was he knew exactly what he was doing. It was on purpose, and he knew exactly what he was doing. And he thought, if I do the knee instead of the boot, I might get away with this, and he did. And yeah, that as you said, that kind of sums up the performance of Real Madrid, and it's alarming actually. I've been critical of the appointment from day one. I just don't think there's any comparison with Xabi Alonso and then giving the job to Arbeloa. It's just it's a it's there's no evidence that Arbeloa could do the job and can do the job.
Six months
with a B team with no pressure whatsoever, you know, getting young players to improve and get them close to being ready for the first team.
Yeah, versus a guy totally who won the Bundesliga with Leverkusen.
Exactly.
And so, you could, for all the criticisms, we discussed Xabi Alonso's progress, lack of progress, a bit frustrating, etc. It's an obvious downgrade, isn't it, to Arbeloa?
Yeah. And I think his substitutions don't help as well. And I've been critical of those in recent weeks. When he makes changes, I'm thinking, he's taking, my opinion, sometimes taking the wrong players off. He's putting the wrong players on. He seems to have an issue with Brahim Diaz at the moment. And when I look at the team last night, Brahim Diaz should start. I mean, they lack that right-sided player. But last night we had Fede Valverde kind of playing right-side midfield, but he's not a winger. Tchouaméni was holding midfield. Thiago Pitoc did well on the sort of the left side of midfield. And Arda Güler is allowed to roam around, which means you've got Gonzalo Garcia up front. That's another criticism, but that goes back to Xabi Alonso. Why on earth did they let Endrick go?
Yeah.
The only thing I can think is that Endrick wanted to play some football somewhere.
Yeah.
And they presumed Mbappe was going to be fit for the rest of the season and not miss a game. And Xabi Alonso obviously preferred Gonzalo Garcia.
Yeah.
But it still leaves you light. I mean, even Endrick can play in a wider position. He's that type of striker. So now you're left with only Gonzalo Garcia, while Mbappe is out injured. And Vinicius playing as he does on the left. So the balance is still severely lacking. And Brahim Diaz, he put him on in the 86th minute, I think, last night. Way behind other players that you're thinking should have come on. Defence were poor. He makes the change. He takes off Alaba quite early to bring Housen on to try and improve the distribution out the back. I think that was... But it was really good. It was messing up the distribution, not Alaba. So that was whether Alaba's further away from being 100% fit and lasting a game, I don't know. And then you look at the other changes from then on and you're looking and thinking, that's the wrong call. And the crowd cheer and whistle as well. There's 60, 70,000 people sitting there agreeing with me at home, sitting on the sofa watching it on television. And it's Arbeloa is the only one that's... Because when they took Pitoc off, he was... That got booed because he was playing well and he was giving them something, but it's because he's a young player that he took him off. And
yeah, it's an easy one.
That happens.
Yeah.
So the crowd whistled that one and then other changes are made. And at the same time, and I looked at the, I'm watching it. I can see it. I checked the average positions and it's actually the average positions of the midfield players. They had Tchouaméni holding midfield, but they're Valverde and Goulet and Pitoc. Three of them, their average position is in the centre circle.
Right, yeah. So I suppose there's various ways of interpreting that. It could be that they're all over the place.
Yeah.
And don't know where they're playing and ends up average in the middle. Or they could just be playing through the middle.
Well, Valverde doesn't want to play wide right, and he shouldn't. I mean, in a midfield three, he should be playing. He can right side. Tchouaméni would be the holding one and then probably Bellingham off the left.
Yeah.
In a three, and then you have the three up front. But there are, it could be Bellingham at the top of a diamonds, and you try and get two up front. But there's just no system. Trent Alexander-Arnold, his average position, his average is over the halfway line, same as Carreras, so that's pretty good. I mean, Trent Alexander-Arnold wasn't good last night. I mean, there was mistake after mistake in terms of possession. I mean, the possession is his strength, and if he's poor in terms of possession, then he doesn't really give a lot to Real Madrid. You're not saying to him, "Okay, you've had a bad game possession-wise, but you did your job defensively." He didn't. He doesn't. It's all about attacking and playing the attacking half and playing the passes, playing the crosses, the long crossfield diagonal balls. But he was giving the ball away far too much last night, so that was kind of obvious when he was substituted that Carvajal would come on. I'm finding them really disappointing, Real Madrid. And I've made the excuse that they've got players missing them through injury and stuff. Are they out the title race? No, of course not. I mean, it's turned around quickly with back-to-back defeats against Osasuna at home to Getafe. 6 points, they should be. I mean, I get a draw at Osasuna. That's a tough place to go. But they've got to be beating Getafe at home.
Yeah.
And they did take the lead over Barcelona not long ago. And suddenly it switched around again, and that 4-point gap has appeared. But they're not out of the race by any means, but it's hard to see how they can. I mean, I don't know how long Mbappe is going to be out. It's a massive blow. I
Yeah,
mean,
it's a real problem, Mbappe, isn't
yeah.
it? We sat here and discussed, didn't we, how many times people would say, oh, they're a one-man team, and we had that discussion. Now, they're not really a one-man team. But if you lose the man who people say is a one-man team, then it's a massive setback, isn't it? He scored a huge amount
Yeah.
of their goals, and without that, in this game, if Mbappe might have got an early goal, might have banged another one in, and they've won it 2-1 or something, given Satriano's volley, but also they downgraded their manager halfway through the season
Yeah.
because they were frustrated with Xabi Alonso.
Yeah.
That's a brief summary. If any Real Madrid fans.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino style games, and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the chase for the cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Want to say anything more optimistic, then feel free to get in touch.
Yeah, and I
But
want to be optimistic because we've got another Clasico coming up in beginning of May.
I mean, there are loads of games to come. That's the main cause of optimism, isn't it? And it's Real Madrid; they always bounce back in the end, and they don't have to wait long. Friday, isn't it? Because like they've
Yes,
suddenly turned into a
Celta.
Friday Monday Friday team. I think Celta Vigo on a Friday night.
That's
Oh, right.
at
So,
Celta, isn't it? That's at Celta Vigo. That's going to be a tough game. I mean, so they need some of the. I mean, I catch Camavinga was missing last night as well. They need some of those back. Bellingham's not going to be fit for next week. I wouldn't imagine there's been no news on that. And Mbappe is sort of wait and see what happens at the moment, isn't it? Until the stage where they might rush him back. I
But
think they're
you don't
trying
want
to be
that.
calm about it, but
They need to be calm about it because that's the they brought him back when he wasn't ready before. And
yeah.
that's this is it's a bad road to go down, isn't it? Bringing back players who aren't fit with an
And now
injury.
he's probably looking and thinking, we've got the World Cup coming up. When am I going to get better?
Precisely.
It's going to have to mend at some stage.
And whether if it's rest, if it's surgery, if it's whatever, I don't know. But he, yeah. You can't. I don't want to see him back. Much as it's frustrating watching Real Madrid without him. I don't want an injured Mbappe.
Yeah.
Oh, right. More optimistically, right. You can turn off now. No Real Madrid fans have tuned into this one, have they? I don't think. Because what they don't want to hear is about losing to Getafe while Barcelona thrash Villarreal. So let's move on to Barcelona thrashing Villarreal. There's a young fella called Lamine Yamal, Terry. You might know him. He's some player. He scored
Yeah.
his first senior hat trick. He was even younger than Terry Gibson when he scored his first senior hat trick.
Yeah, I only got one, so we're level at the moment. Yeah, he was astonishing, and the whole everything about him is at the moment. It's to watch him play football when he's at it, and he's a kid. He still is. I mean, he's playing. He's in a man's world now, grown up world. But he is. When you see other 18-year-old kids, and I've got nephews and stuff, and you just think they're older than Lamine Yamal or something. And it's astonishing what he's doing. You do have to keep reminding yourself he's so young because he's become such an important player for Barcelona. And he had injury issues this season, but in his interview after the game, he seemed to make light of it that he's over that, and he sometimes in games I think he tries to too over elaborate in the beginning at the opening minutes of a match. He knows he's an entertainer. He knows the crowd have come to see him do something special, and in some games because he's a kid, some games he starts off in that frame of mind. At the weekend he started off exactly the way you should do. His first three or four contributions to the game were fantastic. Driving at the defender, and, loads of step overs, crosses, end product. And then he went quiet, but then he burst to life with the first goal, and then the second goal was just out of this world. And I was co-commentating on the game, and I said, he's going to get a hat trick. There was just no way that you were going to stop him getting the hat trick. We checked to see if it was going to be his first hat trick. And once we saw that it was a possibility, when he scores the second goal before half time, it was nailed on. He was going to get a hat trick. And he was helped by Pedri coming back on. So we're talking about the injured players coming back for Real Madrid and injured players missing. Pedri gives them an upgrade as well. Massive upgrade when Pedri starts with and without the ball. I think his stats of winning the ball back possessions is ridiculously high. But we look at Pedri and we think, oh, look at his skills. Look at, the way he's pivoting and the way his head's on a swivel and he does this and how do you get out of that? But it's also that fact that Barcelona are not as good defensively when he's not playing because he does that. And of course, when he comes on and he threads that pass in for Lamine Yamal, there's only one outcome.
Yes, well,
One
especially
of the
with
worst VAR decisions I've ever seen in my life when the fourth goal was disallowed.
right,
Have you seen both players are about, well, Koundé's about 2 yards off onside, and then Lewandowski's behind the ball when Koundé squares
Oh,
it.
that, well, yes,
And it was
because
disallowed, and Lewandowski sort of disagreeing with it,
Well,
and he's
Lewandowski blames Koundé or something, doesn't he?
yes, he
Say, oh,
did,
it must
yeah.
have
He
been
said, it
him.
weren't me, it was him. I guess he doesn't know, and he knows Lewandowski knows he was behind the ball, so he knows that he can't be him. And then when you saw the replays, like 2 yards onside,
That's not VAR.
how did you get
That's
that
the line-out.
wrong?
That's the
Yeah,
line-out, to be fair, isn't it?
yeah. How did they get
Also,
that so wrong?
Villarreal also defended a bit like Barcelona at times, didn't they? With the offside line, and you think you don't have to play like that because you're playing
Just
against
because
this
you're playing
lot,
Barcelona.
you know?
I was really disappointed with Villarreal. They haven't got many chances left. That's twice they've lost to Barcelona. They lost twice to Real Madrid. They've lost to Atletico Madrid. They've got to play them again. That's where they are. And that's probably, in some respects, I'm giving them credit for winning all the other games. Aren't they that much better than Betis and Celta and Real Sociedad and other teams like that? But what they've done is win the games that they, I'm say should win that, even that's a stretch, but they have done that. And then when they've played the bigger teams in La Liga, they've failed, and the Champions League, they failed. So it's definitely a level for Villarreal, which they've reached. Now, can they? And I'm hopeful they can, because they changed a lot of the team last season. My worry is that'll happen again, that other clubs will come in and take their players again, and they have to go through the whole process again. But if they can keep the majority of the squad, then next season they might be closer to the teams in the Champions League. They might be closer to Barcelona, Real Madrid, and Atletico in terms of when they face them. But they lacked any conviction, no belief whatsoever. Just didn't look up for the fight in this game. They really didn't. I was really dis. I thought this was going to be one of those games where they thought, right, what have we got to lose? We'll have a go at Barcelona today. They've got their cup match coming up in midweek. We've had this, we've had that, and they just didn't fancy it.
Hesitate to say bottlers, but they maybe your nicer criticism, but is potentially slightly deeper, is that they're not that good, and maybe they're punching above their weight in all of the other games that they are winning. So
That's the issue I'm saying. You kind of giving them criticism, but at the same time, there are other teams in La Liga that don't win those games that you think they should win. So, I mean, Real Sociedad are doing it now. Athletic Club don't win the games that they probably should, particularly at home. And then you go through the league, and Villarreal just knocking off those 3 points every week, and they're going to finish in the top four. But there's some way to go before they compete better with the three others.
Because Barcelona won, we're gonna give them a pass on their defending at the corner that led to the.
Yeah, there was one earlier though, and that they allowed Villarreal to take a short corner, and no one went out, and it was a short corner played towards the edge of the penalty box on the corner, and no one went out. There was no one out there, and I thought that's really poor. And with the defending from the corner, I think it's three Villarreal players touched the ball. I'm kind of flummoxed now when I look at a Premier League game. There's like 20 players in the 6 yard box. That's new to me. I'm looking at that thinking, because we don't ever see that in La Liga.
Yeah.
Piling up. Part of me's glad, to be
Oh,
honest.
it's an interesting split, this set pieces in the Premier League thing. The set piece goals in the Premier League has rocketed this season,
Yeah.
partly because of the referees. You're now for year all you know, all of our lives we've been saying, oh, keepers get too much
Two pricks,
protection. Now they don't get any protection. Now you're allowed to put five, 6 footers around them and surround him, and then he's left there flapping his hands while someone else heads it in. So it's a real problem, isn't it? Because they've got Newcastle to come. Right, Newcastle are not the killer set piece team that Arsenal are, that Chelsea looked like the other day.
Liverpool are.
Yeah.
Liverpool
Three
suddenly
goals in the
turned
first
into,
half from corners against West Ham. And Slot, to his credit, says, I don't really like it. It's not part of the, you know, people like the spectacle of the Premier League is you it's fast moving, and quite attacking. But what you don't want is it just endless succession of big blokes set pieces. But
I
that's
played for a team that did that. We
and
were the
then
best team
everyone
for.
hated Wimbledon. It was the, you know, everyone forgets that, as you point out, everyone forgets that now. And oh, I lose little Wimbledon. Not at the
But
time.
there was, in defence of us, we weren't Arsenal and we weren't Liverpool and we weren't the, we weren't, we had the lowest budget in the top
Yeah.
division by a long way.
But essentially,
So we had to make up for what
Arteta's
we could.
calculation, he's probably sat down at some point. How did Wimbledon on that budget get to like win the FA Cup and finish sixth in the Premier League? And you think, well, by having a load of big blokes and a load of set pieces and stuff, why don't we just do that on our budget and we'll win the league? Looks like, you know, they've got a very good chance of it working. So it's an interesting one that when, because it's partly refereeing. That's partly makes me think that the English clubs aren't just going to set piece their way to every European trophy. Because but what, so what does an English ref do now when they go into a
Yes,
Champions League
good
game?
question.
Are they, so, well, obviously they won't ref English games. So it'll be, you know, it'll be an interesting refereeing decision. 'Cause I think it's a clear decision by refs in England to allow far more physical contact at
Yeah, oh, definitely.
set pieces.
And Atletico Madrid come unstuck, didn't they, against Arsenal this year? And there was set piece goals in that.
Oh, did you see the one with Declan Rice the other day? Did you see the one
Yeah,
where he
handball and a foul.
and he got, and they said, the VAR said, oh, we can't give the handball because there was a lot of physical contact going on.
From
Like, what?
him.
Because he's in the middle of fouling someone. He was busy. He was busy wrestling someone to the ground when
And around
he
the neck.
handballed
Yeah,
it.
apparently you let. So yeah, that would never. That would have been a penalty, wouldn't it? 100% a penalty in La Liga.
Oh, it'd be like, oh yeah.
But
Honestly, if you put a referee, being interested, if you put a Spanish referee
on
in
VAR.
English penalty area, yeah, it'd be, oh, that one.
But Barcelona's defending from corners isn't great. Sometimes the
Yeah.
best teams don't concentrate on set pieces because they fancy themselves to score more goals than the opposition,
Yeah.
all that stuff. But it can be a great leveller.
Yeah.
But the better, bigger teams in the Premier League are doing it. I'm still baffled. I think it was Chelsea who did it recently, left players up.
Yeah.
That's the way to overcome it, and no one does it. I
Yeah.
just don't get that. It's an obvious thing to do. If you said when you're playing Arsenal, because we use Arsenal, I'm going to leave three players up. They've got to at least leave three back. Now, who are they going to leave back? They've got a goalkeeper. They've got one taking the corner, so they've got nine players left. So they're going to have to leave three back. They're then going to have to ring the edge of the box more as well, because if it gets cleared, someone's got to be on the edge of the box to make sure they can't break quickly, and that causes all sorts of problems. Because you don't want, if you're Arsenal, you don't want to say to say Declan Rice is taking it. You don't want to say to Saka, well, you're one of our smaller ones. Can you go on the halfway line and be one of those markers? Even if you leave two up, they have to leave three back. If you leave three up, they can go 3v3. You don't need the extra defender to cover between three of you. You can do it. But I just don't get why. And then that clears out six players probably from the 6 yard box, penalty box, from both teams. It gives the goalkeeper a bit more room. It gives the defenders a bit more room. It opens it up so the referees can't not see a block. It's just so obvious. I mean, but as it stands now, everybody goes back. Arsenal, Liverpool, they can put everybody in the box, a couple on the edge of the box because there's no threat coming the other way. So suddenly you've got like 20 players in the penalty area. That's where the chaos is. And take away that chaos. Take three of yours out. They'll have to take three of theirs out. Goalkeeper, one's taking the corner. There's suddenly a lot less numbers in the box.
There we are. It's an interesting one for the. It's an interesting one for you.
I never
Have
went back for a
coaches
corner
for.
in my life. I was of no use. But I occupied with someone else three defenders on the halfway line. That was a given. I was going to be no use going back for a corner, my size, but we didn't strikers, unless you were a big striker and you went back. But it was a given that players stayed up. Alex Ferguson started it, taking everyone back for a
Oh,
corner.
taking everyone back, right?
And that was to drag you in, and then they hit you on the break with Ryan Giggs and Sharp and Kunchelskis, and it was suddenly everyone was aware that, oh, that's why they're taking everybody back. Everybody's back, but Giggs was on the edge of the box on the corner. Whoever was the other speedy winger, and they've had a few over the years, they'd be on the other opposite side. So they were in a semi-defensive position, but they weren't. They were drawing you out and then going to hit you quickly. So I blame Fergie.
Yes, let's do that. Let's move on to a failed Manchester United winger. That was a reach, that wasn't it? So move on to
Where are we going? I thought we'd just done Barcelona.
the oh, sorry. Let's
That's just
do the Seville derby. Betis 2, Sevilla 2. And Anthony's day went from scoring an overhead kick to having a Barney with his own supporters by the end of the
No,
game.
who absolutely adore him as well, and that's the reason he's having fun now, because of the relationship from day one. And it probably blew him away, and it blew me away, thinking, you do realize it's Anthony, you know, because like thousands waiting for him to land at Sevilla Airport, and this, it was like, whoa.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the chase for the cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Hang on a minute. We haven't seen him play that much yet. And then because of that, he felt good about himself. Manager loved him, and everything was blooming. Great goal. You know, his improvisation for the quick overreaction, the overhead kick. But I was baffled by the what he was getting involved with the crowd.
But
Frustrating because Sevilla got back into the game, and
so they mess it up, Betis, didn't they? I thought Abde was involved in both goals, wasn't he? And they were 2-0 up, and it was never like so confident that you thought the game was done. But it got to an hour at 2-0, and obviously Betis are feeling confident, but they've got it in them, haven't they, Betis, to be a bit lackadaisical.
I agree with that, and that's what makes them so attractive to watch, to be honest. They'll still go for a third goal. They've got some players like Antony and Abde who still, you're never going to rein them in, particularly Abde. You're not going to suddenly make Abde into a player that sits back behind the ball, and when his team are leading 2-0, just give it nice and easy. I love watching Abde, and love watching players like that who are pretty much street footballers, to be honest. And that's what Betis are. And in this game, I mean, Sevilla are fighting, you know, with everything they've got. They're not great to watch. They're athletic. They're strong. They're pragmatic. They're organised. They're lacking quality in terms of players. But the manager, it's bizarre that he's going to be missing for so long. And I don't know what the protocol is with the managers when they're suspended. Whether no one had seen him at the ground that day. He hadn't been seen. So I don't even know if he went. I don't know. It's a weird one. But they've got some pride. Alexis Sanchez, who has been a good signing for them. He really has. He gets a really good goal, and then from then on the game changes. And the celebration mood in the stadium suddenly it went down. And it was a more competitive game, and Isaac Romero got the equaliser with a fine goal. The other goal for Betis was, what a goal that was as well. I mean, Antunes was an individual strike. The other goal from Betis was wonderful football. At that stage, they were on fire. But 2-0, it's always a... You know, you've got to believe you're still in the game. And Sevilla, you know, knew it wasn't going to be easy, but they had belief that they could get something out of it, and they did.
Yeah, and either both teams nearly won it after the last goal as well. Abde hit the post. Adams then had one cleared sort of off the line, but he was always going to clear it, wasn't he? So opportunity missed by Betis, useful point for Sevilla, I guess, isn't it? Because given that they're
inching their way.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing. And he's an interesting player. Alvaro Fidalgo, who got the second goal for Betis.
Yeah.
He'd been in Mexico for so long. When they signed him, I assumed he was Mexican.
And
because he's now got clearance to play for Mexico. But he's Spanish, and he started off at Real Madrid B, ended up playing at Club America. I think it was Solari knew him from Real Madrid.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
And took him to Mexico. And that's where he's been there for 5 years up until now. And he's now just been classed that he can appear for Mexico, so probably good timing for the World Cup. He looks... done the homework there. I mean, I know he's Spanish and probably people knew him, but he'd been away for a while. But he looks a good little signing for Betis as well.
Yeah. One of our patrons had tipped us off about him when he signed. And I can't remember who it is, sorry. But yeah, said to watch out for him. He was a good player. So
yeah,
good signs. Right. Oviedo 0, Atletico 1. Sounds not necessarily what it sounds, although. Stat is, so 94th minute goal by Alvarez wins it.
Yeah.
5 goals in 13 home fixtures, Oviedo, which is just agony, isn't it? They had 16 shots, though. So it wasn't like they didn't do anything in this game. But even when they're attacking, they can't score at home. But away, they can score.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little bit critical of the manager with the amount of... because. When they went 1-0 down in the 94th minute, he then put the centre forward up front alongside Fede Vinas. Fede Vinas is a cracking player, by the way. He's 27, I believe. He's out of contract in the summer. He's been a real... I mean, he spent the first half of the season playing left wing, which was daft. Rondon was playing up front. And it was clear that Vinas was better than younger and sharper. But he's a real handful. And I just feel Alberto Riera plays... off of him, but he's a midfield player, so he isn't. I mean, he's got 4 or 5 goals as well. So it's. I just felt that in their position, Guillermo Almada should have been more courageous. But it almost looked to me as if he probably thought, do you know what? If we get a draw against Atletico Madrid, that's not bad. But they're running out of games. They're running out of time. And when Alvarez scores the goal, he then puts the big centre half up front. I think it was. David Carmo goes up front. You think, why did you wait so long? Why didn't you, put in there's 2 or 3 strikers on the bench that didn't come on.
Yeah.
And that was, I just think you're at the stage now where whoever you're playing at home, you've got to win. A point isn't enough. And I thought they settle for the point and end up getting nothing.
Also, score some goals. If they go through, honestly, if you get to the end of the season with fewer than 10 goals at home, how miserable is that to be a supporter of that club?
I looked in the stats before and did my prep. They had six consecutive games where they didn't score a goal at home, and 3 were 0-0 draws. So they were still getting points. So 3 were 0-0. So you're not getting value for money in terms of goals. But the crowd were with them. The crowd are wonderful, actually, because their expectation levels are sensible. Right from the first game of the season, I don't hear the crowd at Oviedo moaning at the manager or the players. So you're kind of given a licence to go and be daring in the way that you play.
Yeah. Or the other way, they give them a licence to go and bore the pants off everybody because they cheer you anyway.
So it's time's running out for them now. I mean, they've got to win probably half their games now to stay up.
Well, they're 9 points off 17th. Now, they've got a game, haven't they? They've got Rayo this midweek.
Yes.
Last
chance.
Yeah.
It's their last chance. I mean, it's Atleti at home. If they'd got a draw, the manager might have thought, well, that gives us a little bit of belief going into this game. We've got some games where we're playing teams that are around the similar, not similar position, but in the bottom half of the division. then we'd take it from there. But they've got to win half their games now, which is unrealistic, to be honest.
Yes. So we've got the second leg of the Copa del Rey semi-final tonight, haven't we? Barca Atletico 4-0, if you remember, from the first leg.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, we were just discussing what you do as a commentator in a game where you think it's dead. Everyone's got to approach this game as if it's not dead from the start, haven't they?
Oh, yes. And Atletico Madrid, everybody's saying they're through. Mm. Apart from Pete, I promise you, Atletico Madrid won't be feeling that. Mm. Simeone won't be feeling that. Mm. If I'm supplying for Barcelona, I won't be feeling that. And the mentality of the players must be for Barcelona must be, well, they scored 4 in 1 half against us. We're at home now. We've got 4 at the weekend against Villarreal. We more often than not score 3 goals. Yeah, I mean, let's have a go at it. Mm. Atleti, I don't think they can play defensively anymore. That doesn't seem to be something they can do. So I'm kind of hoping for to make it a real humdinger is that Atleti go looking for a goal. If they go looking for a goal and get a goal, then yeah, it's probably done. So yeah. How courageous and daring are Simeone and Atleti going to be? And it's easy to say probably not, no, because we know what Simeone's like, but they're not like that anymore, Atletico Madrid. So I think they know there's still work to be done. I mean, as a player and as a coach, you have to believe that, well, they did it, so can we.
Yeah.
You know, it's a new game. Let's crack on and get a couple of goals in the first half. That's not a big tall order, is it?
Yeah.
Then at half-time, you're back in it.
Anyway, by the time most people listen to this, it might have been played that game. So we won't dwell on it for too long. Let's have a look at some of the games, some of the interesting things to talk about in La Liga this week, such as Elche 2, Espanyol 2. Now, unfortunately, here we are again with racism in this game, which is a shame because, there was an entertaining, slightly chaotic game between two teams who still haven't won a game. But we've ended up with...
Since Christmas.
Yes. That's one game. So we ended up with allegations by Omar Al-Hilali aimed at Rafa Mir of racism. He made a racist remark. Rafa Mir, his defence, it's a curious one, but he denies racism, essentially. So, you know, you're entitled to, you know, you're entitled to deny it, aren't you, and you know, try and clear your name. He said something like, I said I'd rip his head off or something like that, which is, oh, right, lovely. But anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I can't begin to tell you some of the threats that were made to me and I made to others. It's... Sledging goes on in most sports, to be honest.
Yeah.
But there is a line that you can't cross.
Yeah.
Threatening to cut someone's arms and legs off appears to be okay. That's
But
there is a line.
To be fair to Elche, their statement, they did better than Benfica. They denied, sort of, they came out firmly against racism and then said, we're prepared to listen to what Rafa Mir has to say. The ref didn't hear it. It's one of these awkward situations. We'll see where it takes us.
But it was a good game.
Yeah.
Elche keep playing well and can't win. Yeah. Espanyol find a little bit of form. Elche should have won this game. And it was them that were struggling to get an equaliser in the 90th minute with a penalty. Hmm. And Carlos Romero, who's been fabulous last season and this season, the left back for Espanyol, scored a worldie. How do you look at this at the end? Espanyol were leading until the 90th minute, then penalties given, and they end up drawing. They thought they were going to win. And you look at it and think, they'd be gutted, but they would have been happy with a draw when they were, the way that the game went, Elche were the better team. So we made a joke, didn't we, saying that neither team have won since Christmas, and this was probably going to be a draw. And that's exactly how it ended up.
Yeah.
A fabulous goal from Carlos Romero. He's a really good player. And he'll strengthen Villarreal next season when he goes back to them.
Left-back
position. Pedraza's moving on.
I thought it was a good goal by Kike as well, actually.
Yeah.
The first goal, well taken for, you know, someone of his advanced age and ended up with a lot of, like, 90-odd minutes pointless red cards at the end of games, aren't there?
So, yes.
Pickles,
I mean, if they are, they are. But
yeah.
Pickles was it two complaints in the, was it one of those two yellows succession or?
It's where it's almost like, I don't know, it's like the players, because I always think that the players are equally to blame in all of this. They do stupid things to get themselves stupid red cards and stuff. And did you want next week off? Have you got plans? What we need to discuss, Joe, we haven't discussed encroachment at a penalty to the extent of Valencia versus Osasuna. It's almost what you've got to go and you've got to go and see this, everybody, to know what we're talking about here. I've never seen anyone encroach at a penalty to this extent, where Ramazani's taken the penalty and he sort of looks round and the guy is standing next to him.
He was offside. Gaia was offside. And it was bizarre. The technique, Gaia appeared... Now, he knows Ramazani appears to be a fantastic penalty taker. One of those that's got big balls, that walks up slowly, has a little stutter, not even looking at the ball, looking at the goalkeeper, and it works. It's his second one in the last 3 weeks that he's done. So Gaia must know that he's going to do the stutter, but Gaia sprints full on, gets to the edge of the box, and just he jumps.
Does a triple jump, almost.
He does like a jump. And now, I don't know if he has looked at the law book that we haven't, the laws of the rules of football, and he thought, if I jump and my hang time is long enough and I don't touch the ground...
If I can float.
If I can don't touch the ground, perhaps he feels that you only encroach if your feet are on the grass.
Yeah.
So if he hangs in the air long enough and he lands and then the goalkeeper makes a save and he taps it in, it'll be okay. But clearly it's not. That's not the rules. But I was just completely baffled that, what's he, 30 now, Gaia? How's he suddenly come up with that? It was bizarre. It was like, yeah, clearly it had to be retaken, despite the fact that the goal was scored.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
you've got the goalkeeper off when you've got two players bearing down on you. Yeah. One of them's taking the penalty. Yeah, one isn't. Honestly, people haven't seen it, watch it. It's bonkers.
The Valencia Osasuna game. So the penalty, that was it. That was the game was won and lost on that, wasn't it? Sadiq won it. Too strong for the defender, wasn't he? Just muscled him out of the way. And then the goalkeeper was...
There's Herrera. He's a really good goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And normally reliable. Every now and then he just loses the plot and he's chucking, like, giving away penalties and knocking people over left, right and centre. The classic at the end when they set him up for the corner.
Right, yeah.
And he buried Dmitrievski.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Absolutely nailed him. The players wanted to have it's their last kick of the game almost, and Sergio Herrera goes up and just smashes him, knocks him in the back of the goal. The Valencia players get the Osasuna players break it up, and the two goalkeepers are laughing. They're just hugging it out and laughing and telling everyone else, "Look, stop it, don't worry about it, we're fine." Dimitrescu might think, I'll nail him next time, but it was comic. It was so comical. Dimitrescu's got the ball in his hands, and all of a sudden, whack! Herrera knocks him into the back of the goal. Says it was an accident. I think he was just clumsy, to be honest.
Mallorca. We haven't discussed this with the wider community, have we, Terry? The new manager of Mallorca, and it was not a good start, was it? Martin de Michelis watching as they put in a real kind of limp performance to lose to Real Sociedad.
This most disappointing team performance of the weekend was Mallorca's. They got the new manager sitting in the stand. Bizarrely sitting there drinking like a milkshake with his family. And then I thought, that wasn't Demon Chalice, surely, was it? And then they showed him again, and it was. For a team that's got a new manager sitting in the stand, because he only took over the day of or the day before, and I think it was about appropriate that Arasati was relieved of his duty. By all accounts, they've been looking around for other people and didn't have anyone they really particularly liked. and then felt after the result the week before and the situation in, they had no choice but to pull the plug on Arrasati. So this is all a rushed appointment. But if you're a player and you've got the new manager sitting in the stand, you want to create a good impression, surely. But it didn't appear so. And he might have looked at it a bit different afterwards and looked at it and thought, but he knows some of the players and he think, you know, I can... I think personally they shouldn't be in the bottom three. They should be high up the table, and with a different manager, I expect them to get out of trouble. But I'm now looking at them thinking, are the players up for it? They've got a striker who's got 16 goals. They could still get relegated. That doesn't happen. You know, the teams that go down this year, they won't have a striker that gets double figures. And for Mallorca to have someone that's got 16, second top scorer in the league, and they're in the relegation position, is baffling. So, yeah, they were poor. Real Sociedad was slightly better, deserved to win the game. Decent finish from Carlos Soler, back on a winning run again for Real Sociedad. And moving up the table, there's a nice little battle going on for the European spots now, with some good teams as well.
Yes, such as Celta Vigo, who got a win at Girona. Sort of against the run of play, as it were. Girona, more shots, better XG, etc. But Celta Vigo turned it around. Good finish by Jutler and an own goal to wrap it up.
It was, Jutler's goal was really good, wasn't it? It's one of those where you think he's going to cross it. No, drills it, top corner, near post. And, yeah, Celta were in form. They made a few changes. Don't know if they were forced into it because the games would be coming thick and fast for them. So there's no Borja Iglesias for this one. Fer Lopez played again. That's ridiculous, isn't it? They got a lot of money for him, and he's back there on loan in the same season from Wolves. And he's a good player, promising young player that's probably went too early to the Premier League. He may still succeed in the it'd be a championship if he does go back to Wolves. Celta good to watch. Girona inconsistent. I do like Azzedine Unahi, though. I must admit, I've enjoyed watching him this season. He's been injured, came back, come off the bench. He's paid $6 million from Marseille for him. He's only 25. And, he looks a really fun player to watch.
Yes. Levante got a win. Two late goals. It was a very even game, I thought, this one. The deflection for the first one, then they score on the break again in the 97th minute. So Alaves will feel hard done by. Also, managerless.
Yeah, and he hasn't been sacked, Eduardo Caudet. And there were rumours last week, but I thought it was going to be for the end of the season that River Plate wanted him as their manager. And that's apparently the case. And so Alaves and Caudet all agreed that for a guy like him to go back home and manage River Plate is too good an opportunity to turn down. So the club have been pretty decent about it, to be honest. They could have kicked, caused some trouble. Now, whether they were not unhappy to see him leave, I don't know. But I don't think he was on the verge of getting the sack anyway. But this game was really... Both goalkeepers were... Matt Ryan for Levante was fabulous. Antonio Cervera for Alaves was brilliant as well. There's a number of goalkeeping saves in this that were astonishing. I thought Alaves shaded it in the first half. Definitely had more attempts at goal. But in the second half, Levante went for it. There was a sending off. Victor Parada gets sent off, two yellow cards, 61 minutes from then on. It was an onslaught. And I thought they were going to do it, Alaves. I couldn't see how they were going to do it because Levante really piled it on. And they got to the 88th minute. A substitute, Carlos Espi, who's another player to watch. Big, strong, powerful 20-year-old centre forward. And I mean, the atmosphere in the stadium was electric. It was absolutely fantastic. I thoroughly enjoyed that game on Friday evening, and the Vanti, got the goals at the end. Could have gone either way, but as I say, the sending off was that changed the momentum of the game totally, and the Vanti got a really important 3 points. They're not out of it.
Oh well, they've got this run. This was sort of the start of the run that we'd sort of foreshadowed, and they got off to that's the start they needed. They've got Girona, then they're away to Rio, then they've got Oviedo. Then away to Real Sociedad, then home to Getafe and home to Sevilla in this run of games. So everything, very much everything to play for. And just got to discuss the grass, Terry, at Rayo Vallecano. It's lovely. Look at that. So they've relayed the pitch, got the game on, and got a draw against Athletic Club.
Yep, and they took the lead, and they've been playing better lately, Raya. And De Frutos, not surprised to see him score. What a wonderful goal, though, equaliser from Iñaki Williams.
Yeah.
That was a lovely goal. Inches, Raya, closer, but they're playing a team not particularly good away from home, don't score loads of goals away from home. Raya probably disappointed they didn't get all 3 points.
Yeah.
And Athletic are in a sort of no man's land at the moment. They've dragged themselves away from any relegation issues. Now, can they push on? I guess after the Copa del Rey semi-final, that might focus their attention on La Liga. But they can. They are in a position where they can push again for European spot.
Mm. Yeah. Right, we're there, Terry. There's a Copa del Rey games coming up next couple of nights. Obviously, the Basque one is the one that is, well, yeah, no, nonsense. I was going to say is more interesting because it's closer, but we're giving Barcelona a chance in the first one, so I'm not writing it off yet.
Yeah, it's a long shot, but that mentality I had as a player and teams I played for, you're not giving up. You just think, well, if they did it, why can't we?
Yeah.
And that's how you got to look at it. And Athletic will be fighting tooth and nail to make sure that they keep it half time 0-0.
Yeah, and there are no Real Madrid fans left listening at all. So they play Friday when it all starts again. But they won't know because they've turned off. Sick of us going on about our below,
about no one playing on the right and.
Yeah, so yeah, we're sorry, Real Madrid fans, but you've got to play again on Friday. Right, and we'll see everybody we'll see Patreon soon, and we'll see everybody for podcast again soon. Right, yeah, take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.